fake vampire fangs. I knew there was a problem when I saw the waitress drawing fake vampire fangs on her lower lip. She was peering into a mirror with her back to me, but my table was just at the right angle for me to see what she was doing. Not that I was trying to be nosy. I was really just looking around so I could get my order. It was already 20 minutes into an hour lunch, after all. And at first, I thought she was just checking her makeup or putting on lipstick. It was a familiar motion, after all, but no. When I looked past her to the reflection, I saw it was a black pen in her hand, and she was drawing twin crescent fangs down from the line of her mouth to the top edge of her small chin. That's when she met my eyes in the mirror. The waitress finished the second fang and then turned on her heel in my direction. When she reached the table, she just stood there silently staring at me. I could see a thin bead of blood where she jabbed herself too hard with the pen, making her right fang. Swallowing hard, I offered her an uncertain smile. Miss, you alright? She nodded, her eyes leaving mine. Yes, I'm fine. Her voice sounded strange now, an odd, lilting accent that I didn't remember her having before. Awkwardly fumbling with my menu, I tried to remember what I even wanted. A club sandwich, please, and a bottle of water. Would you like chips? No, I wasn't imagining it. She was doing some kind of weird, bad accent. Why? Halloween was a week ago, and this place was normally super boring even on holidays. I'd even had this waitress before, and she'd always been slow, but otherwise fine. No, just the sandwich, please. And the water. Very well. She left without another word, and I thought that'd be the end of it. Then 5 minutes later, I heard her loud, fake accent on the other side of the room. I'm sorry. I know this is not what you want. I turned in time to see her jump onto a man with the distant booth, sinking her teeth into his neck with such force that red spray shot across the table and began to soak his screaming wife or girlfriend. There was a confused, delayed reaction from everybody else, but after 3 or 4 more seconds of her ripping into him, everyone in the place started yelling, including me. I ducked out before the cops came. I needed to get back to work, and what could I tell them that would help? I made it as far as this ATM kiosk thing before something leapt onto my car and started trying to break in. He had drawn on vampire fangs, too. I popped a tire, trying to shake him off, and when I finally stopped, he started breaking in, so I ran over here, blocked myself in here with you. He went off to after someone else, but you saw that old lady a minute ago, right? She was chasing those kids, and she had drawn on fangs too. Has the whole world just gone crazy or what? The ATM kiosk footage shows that the unidentified man had kept his back against the ATM machine since the woman had come in, too fixated on her ramblings to speak or look out the windows toward the events she was describing. For the woman's part, she began rummaging through her purse as soon after blocking the door with a trash can. The man had visibly tensed at this point, perhaps fearing a robbery, but he seemed to relax a little when she, instead of retrieving a gun or a knife, and just pulled out a small black eyeliner pencil. And she'd started drawing vampire fangs on her lower lip. She was still telling him the above story while she worked, and it doesn't even appear she realized what she was doing as she savagely dug into her skin, making one crescent and then the other. In any event, once she was done, the pencil and purse were soon discarded and forgotten. She was stalking toward him now, hands hooked into claws, as a sad smile spread across her befanged lips. I'm sorry. I know this isn't what you want. Identification of the remains of John Doe are still pending. My brother has an obsession with my fiancé. I was together with my fiancé Lisa for almost 10 years and had been childhood sweethearts. Our relationship looked perfect from the outside, and everyone constantly pointed out how happy we always looked. The only drawback to our relationship was my brother Denny's unhealthy obsession with Lisa. He'd stare at her the whole time she was there, and he oftentimes hid in the closet so he could try and watch us having sex. Lisa was beyond patient with him and never let him know how much he creeped her out. I considered confronting him on his behavior, but didn't want to cause a fight in my family. My family had told me numerous times that I was standing in the way of his true love, as they thought Lisa and Denny were perfect for each other. I told Lisa this, but she laughed at the absurdity of it. I remember the looks of shock on my family's faces when I told them that my engagement with Lisa was over. Denny burst out crying and ran off upstairs while my entire family ran after him to comfort him. I stood there silently with tears streaming down my face and thinking of how much I'd lost in just a matter of hours. The next few months were horrible for me as my family didn't ask once how I was feeling and spent their entire time consoling Denny. Eventually, something changed in Denny, and he was much happier and kept giving me weird smiles whenever he saw me. I arrived home one day and was heading upstairs when I heard unusual noises coming from Danny's room. I crept closer and almost fainted at what I'd witnessed inside. Danny stood over Lisa and was having sex with her. Rough sex. I pushed open the door and began screaming at him while he stood there sheepishly. My family must have heard my screams as they came pounding up the stairs. I could see the look of happiness on their faces when they saw Denny and Lisa together, and they started scolding me and pointing out that Lisa and I were technically no longer a couple. My mother pointed out that Denny must really love Lisa if he was willing to go dig up her body. I stood there dumbfounded as my family watched Danny resume having sex with Lisa's rotting corpse. The Donkey Show. I knew from the start that going to the Donkey Show was going to be a bad idea. Heloise laughed at me, told me it wasn't what I thought. It was just an inside joke that she could better explain once I'd been there. It wasn't that I didn't trust her, not exactly, but I knew she could be mean with her jokes, and I wasn't sure this one was being played on me. Still, we'd only been dating for 6 months, and I didn't want to fight it or seem unwilling to try new things. Instead of being at the back of some seedy dive bar or even in a fancier establishment like she normally took me, the Donkey Show was in a gated residential community with million-dollar houses and European cars in every driveway. Not as nice as where Hal lived, but way richer than anything I'd ever seen before dating her. The show was in a massive stucco house at the back of one of the cul-de-sacs, and aside from the location, I found myself surprised that there weren't more cars there, just two in the driveway, like most of the other houses in the area. I asked her if there was some mistake, as she parked next to the cars. She laughed and told me, no, this is how they always did the shows. They rent a nice house in a quiet neighborhood for a few days or weeks and have guests come over one or two at a time. She leaned in, giving me a smile. It was all very exclusive, very expensive, and she assured me, very private. Fighting back the urge to ask more questions, I followed her up to the front door. Before she could even knock, a short, sallow man in a three-piece suit opened the door and ushered us inside before closing the door and handing us each an identical printed card. It read, "Please do not speak or make any unnecessary noise while in this home. It disturbs the subject and may reduce the potency of your experience." The man took us upstairs to a bedroom where a woman and another man were standing over a bed where the older gentleman lay. He was naked, breathing shallowly, but otherwise I would have mistaken him for dead. Confused panic began to set in, and I looked at Helen, then our guide. Giving a smiling nod, Heloise led me over to the empty chair next to the bed and sat me down, gently putting my hand on that of the unconscious man. Everything suddenly went gray for a moment, and I only fully came back to myself when the other woman removed it. As I stood up, I thought I saw something dark move under the unconscious man, something that was looking out at me curiously. Shuddering, I let myself be led from the house. It wasn't until we were in the car that I realized 2 hours had passed. "What the fuck was that?" Hel laughed loudly. "How do you feel?" I frowned. "Feel? I feel pretty great, actually, but what was any of that?" She shrugged and gave me a grin. "It's the donkey show." When I didn't return her smile, she grew more serious. "Okay. So it's called The Donkey Show as a play on Don Quixote. You ever read it?" "I don't know. Some in high school, I think." "Well, the idea is that Don Quixote is the older dude that wants to be this big hero and imagine the world as this great romantic ideal. When in truth, he's a crazy fuck-up and the world is shit." I stared at her. "Okay." She rolled her eyes. "So, that guy on the bed paid a lot of money to spend a few weeks living out his dreams. And when he's like that, people can come in and get some of his mojo. It, like, gives you this real boost of confidence and well-being and happiness." Her eyes widened, she smiled again. "Don't you feel it? I can tell you do." I nodded slowly. I mean, I do. I just... "So the guy just gets a good dream? How do they do that? How do they make sure they have good dreams, and how would they give any of that happiness to me?" Swallowing, I added, "I thought I saw something in there too. Something under him looking at me. Is that real?" Heloise shifted uncomfortably as she turned to put the car in reverse. "I don't know all the details of that. It doesn't matter, it's safe. Like, half my family's done it before." "It's safe? It doesn't matter? What kind of idiot are you?" She glared at me as she started driving away from the house. "Look, I did it as a present or whatever, so you'd stop being such a pussy about everything. I didn't order the alpha asshole package, though." I held her gaze. "You tricked me into doing something with that guy. Something bad. How are they doing it? I don't see how it's science, because I sure as shit don't see any computers or wires or medicine. So what is it, Heloise?" Looking back at the road, she was quiet for several moments as she turned out the neighborhood. "I don't know, okay? Not really. I went the first time when I was 16. My dad arranged it, and I was in a really bad pace before that, and, well, it turned me around." She glanced at me, her expression anxious. "I've only done it a couple of times since, like a booster shot, right?" Shaking my head, I looked out at the darkening world. She was right about the effects. I was angry and scared, but I was also way more confident and self-assured now. And she was going to tell me more whether she wanted to or not. I forced my voice to stay even when I spoke next. "Why do they call it a donkey show, Hel? How is this guy like Don Quixote if he's just living some dream of being a big hero?" She let out a sigh. "It's not a dream for him. It's like he's living a version of his life in these days or weeks. But it's just like the best version, you know? Everything he ever wanted, he can see it and have it. He's the hero in his own story. And, well, every time someone touches him for a show, it takes part of that away from him. Shows him how he's failed in this or that, or how what he thought he'd accomplished wasn't really real. That's horrible. But how does it make sense? If he started failing at this big important stuff in his dream or whatever it is, wouldn't he just give up and be sad about what he lost? Her hands were trembling on the steering wheel now. It doesn't work like that for them. They can't stop. It makes them believe they can get it all back. And it feeds on their sadness and fear the same way we feed on their positive stuff. They keep getting pulled back and forth between getting stuff and losing stuff until... She drifted off. Until what, Hal? She shrugged again. I don't know. Until they've earned their money or until they're burned out and it doesn't work anymore? Tell me what the fuck that thing is that's feeding on him. There were tears in her eyes as she looked back at me this time. I really don't know. And I know not to ask. These aren't things you fuck around with. You've got a high right now, but in time you'll see what I mean. What happens to the people they use? The donkeys? Once they're done with them, are they okay after that? Wiping her eyes with the back of her hand, she gave a watery laugh. Fuck, how would I know? Some probably are, yeah. I know my brother Kenny stopped doing it because he heard a lot of them... Oh, a lot of them kill themselves after. It breaks them or something. She sniffed. They're really well paid, and at least their families get all that. Stop the car. What? I'm not stopping the car in the middle of... Unbuckling my seatbelt, I leaned closer. I said, stop the fucking car, you piece of shit. I'll walk. Letting out a startled gasp, she slammed on the brakes. She was right. This was the middle of nowhere, but I didn't care. As I got out, Heloise yelled after me. Don't think I'm coming to pick you back up, asshole. We're fucking done. I stared at her. No shit. Turning, I started walking down the road. I thought there was a gas station or something like 5 miles further up. The cold night air blew past me as hell sped away, but I barely noticed. I was deep in my own thoughts all the way until I reached the lights of the gas pumps. That was a month ago. That night, I almost went back to the house, barged in, and tried to rescue the guy or something, but whatever he'd given me had made me happy and confident, not stupid. I didn't want to risk my life for a stranger that may never even want to be rescued, and ironically, it was what he'd given me that made it easier for me to leave him behind. I had so many plans now, so much I could do, and I hadn't known what I was getting into when I went to the show, had I? What I was taking from him or putting him through. I was just trying to impress a girl. I'm not like her. Not like them. Not like whatever it is that looked at me from underneath that poor man's flesh. Looked at me with curiosity and maybe recognition of its own kind. But no. That's bullshit. I'm not like them. I'm just trying to be happy and get ahead, and if people are sad because of my success or even get hurt as a byproduct of it, that's not my fault, is it? It's not like I'm feeding off of it. I'm not like it. Right? Hey everyone, I hope you enjoyed tonight's stories. I know they were all a bit shorter than what we normally do here. This whole video is a little bit shorter than what we normally do, but life has been being life lately, so I haven't had as much free time to record as I would like, so I hope you all understand. As far as a question for tonight, I don't really have one that relates to the stories that we read, but I am curious, for those who celebrate Thanksgiving, what are your plans? Are you going to get together with the family like usual? Are you a little more cautious about it, given everything that's been happening over the couple of years? Or are you just going to risk it for the biscuit, literally? Those who don't celebrate, let me know what you're doing. I'm really interested. I don't think we'll be celebrating this year, but let me know down in the comment section below what you're doing. I'm really interested to hear about it. Anywho's, I want to thank everyone on screen right now, our patrons and members of the channel. If you want to support me and get videos a day in advance, head down in the description below to become a patron or a member. It really, really helps out, especially here lately. And I think that's going to be it. I hope you all have a wonderful day, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are. And as always, stay safe out there.